Excelsior, and welcome once again, true believers, to a very special mini installment of Zach and Tavy's Marvelous Adventure. I'm Zach Walliner.
And I'm Tavy Phillips.
And we are going through a journey through the Marvel Cinematic Universe from the beginning in anticipation of Marvel's Fantastic Four First Steps featuring Pedro Pascal. And guess what? Today is release day. When we're recording.
Oh my God. It's finally here. I can't believe it.
This film that kicked it all off, the catalyst of this whole podcast's reason for being, has arrived. And it's otherwise a very exciting time. We have put out an announcement of the existence of this podcast, though we are still waiting for iTunes to accept it so that we could push it through. We made a trailer, and yeah, hopefully it'll be available for public consumption soon. Obviously, it will be by the time you hear this, where we've already done.
Hopefully out there in the world.
Yes.
Hopefully by the time they hear this, they'll have listened to a lot of us.
11 episodes prior. But we wanted to do a quick check-in, kind of pre-brief, before each of us sees the movie this weekend. So, Tavy, today's the day. We're going to each see it very soon. I wanted to ask you this in a split question. Before this podcast was a thing, where in a scale of 1 to 10 would you say your excitement for this film was?
It would have been like a grudging excitement because it's Pedro. You know what I mean? It would have been like, oh, here we go. Now I have to see this one, but at least Pedro's in it. It would have been very sort of grudging and almost middling. I'm always happy to see a Pedro movie. I've seen some good ones and some less good ones in the theaters. So I think it would have been right in the middle, like not
like
quite
a five?
Knowing whether, like a five or six, maybe not quite knowing if I'd enjoy it. Kind of apprehensive that I wouldn't have any idea of what was going on because superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle there.
All right, now part two, I think you could tell where this is going.
I can see where this is headed.
On a scale of 1 to 10, after having done 11 episodes of this show and gotten your feet more than a little bit wet in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, getting to know these characters, seeing an Avengers team-up movie, seeing people in their own sequels, advancing the storyline, what would you rate your excitement for this film now?
After having seen 11, I am rating my excitement at an 11 out of 10.
Oh, wow. That
so
that much. Okay.
To see so this movie. I mean, I should say maybe not 11 out of 10 because I didn't get a ticket for opening day, today.
Well, it doesn't have to be the day.
I have to go visit my dad on a Friday. But this weekend, I don't usually see things the opening weekend. I usually wait till things have percolated a little bit in the theater and stuff. I am ready, willing, and able. The only reason I'm not seeing it tomorrow instead of Sunday is because tomorrow is the only chance I'm going to have to watch Guardians of the Galaxy for this podcast.
Okay.
So I had to make a choice, and it has to be Sunday.
All right. Okay. So, I'm not sure if we'll record that one right away because it's a lot to take in all at once.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
That's good. You got your homework assignment followed by another one, which is what it's
Big
been
Marvel
all about.
Big Marvel weekend for me.
Yeah, very exciting. So I'm probably going to see it tomorrow. We're going up to my in-laws and they have a nice little theater there that's cheap and you get maybe one trailer. So you don't have to have a huge
whole family. Is this going to be you and wife and both kids?
It should be.
Or just you and Penny?
At least me and Penny. Maybe my wife, Veronica, will come along with us. It just depends if my in-laws are able to watch our little guy. And I think it'll be okay. I think Veronica wants to see this one enough. So hopefully it could be all three of us. So I'm anticipating that's how it will go. And we've done a few together. We just recently saw Superman, all three of us. So it worked out that way.
Nice.
My parents watched him on that occasion. So we'll see what goes on tomorrow. But
real
I'm excited
family
for
affair,
it.
Which seems appropriate as this movie is supposed to be all about family.
Well, yes. Right? Yes. Fantastic Four is like the first family of Marvel. They're the comic that kickstarted Marvel's Silver Age. Golden Age is like World War II into like the 40s and maybe even a little bit of the 50s. Silver Age is when Marvel really took off with their superheroes, with all of these Stan Lee, Jack Kirby creations outside of Captain America and a few characters that came about in the early days of the Golden Age. But Fantastic Four, Avengers, Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, Spider-Man, X-Men. Fantastic Four was the one that kicked it off. And so they have a very special place in the Marvel pantheon. And there have been attempts at bringing them to live action films before. Never quite nailed it. From what I understand, the closest best one is the cheap Roger Corman one,
Oh, wow.
From 1994 that was never intended to actually be released. It was just to hold on to the rights. And a lot of
Oh,
these
that's
times,
hilarious.
a lot of these
They
times
made one and they didn't. Did they actually release it?
it never was released. You
It
know,
just never got released.
for a while it was
Wow.
floating around conventions on like a VHS copy bootleg. It's on YouTube,
Wow.
I believe. I should check it out. But if you look at it, the costumes and the actors cast are like pulled from the page for the
Oh,
main
wow.
four. Dr. Doom looks pulled from the page. So it's cheap and hokey looking in the materials and everything, but they look comic accurate to the iconic classic looks of these characters. Then they
Who's
did the ones.
Dr. Doom?
What?
Sorry to interrupt you, but who's Dr. Doom?
Oh boy. You don't even know Dr.
Did
Doom?
you
Not...
not know? Do not know? I have no idea.
You don't have any
Have we
public.
met? Have we met Dr. Doom?
No, you have no con like the public common consciousness of the name Dr. Doom even. He's one
No.
of
I've heard of the Fantastic Four. I've heard of something called the Silver Surfer.
Okay.
I've That's it.
Well,
That's,
Dr.
I don't know.
Doom,
What's that?
he's considered one of the greatest villains in fiction. He, I think,
Oh
even
boy.
somewhat inspired Darth Vader in degrees. So he's a big deal.
Wow.
He's been their main adversary forever, and he's also a bigger villain for the larger Marvel universe. There have been events where he's been the focus, and that's actually the next big event after this film is centered around Dr. Doom. So I think that's the
This is
next
why I
film
need
after
you,
Fantastic
Zach.
Four is called Doomsday, Avengers Doomsday.
Oh,
So it surrounds him,
okay.
but
See, this is why I rely on your guidance here. I'm
exactly.
sure the phrase Dr. Doom, I'm sure, has passed through my brain and whistled out the other side over the years because I live in the world, but I had no idea what it was.
Have you ever
So,
heard of
see,
MF Doom? He's a
no.
rapper.
What?
There's a guy,
No.
I think he was a rapper. He's called MF Doom, and he wore a mask similar to Dr. Doom's, clearly taking
Oh, that's
inspiration.
amazing.
So I wondered if maybe you
So, do
had
you know,
that.
I guess when you're really, really tuned out to something in pop culture, I think maybe you just don't notice it. You know what I mean?
Potentially.
Like possibly your brain just sort of puts blinders on and you're just not even picking up. So I don't know where I got Silver Surfer or the Fantastic Four even from, except that they're super. I mean, I know that the
Well, Silver
comic
Surfer, you might have seen in the trailer for
book.
this one.
Oh, maybe so. Maybe so. I
So,
think I just was aware of it. But yeah. Okay, so is Dr. Doom in this new movie?
from what
We don't know.
has been said, they denied it. But I don't know
Okay.
because he and Reed Richards have an intrinsic tie to each other in their history. And Dr. Doom's maybe jealousy, envy, hatred for Reed Richards is a driving factor in his supervillainy in most
Okay.
iterations. So if they don't have a connection in this version, it would be hard to see how they formulate Dr. Doom in this new Marvel Studios version. But he was in
Okay.
the 2000s, there were two films directed by Tim Story that he was in both of them. And then they did in 2015 what's supposedly among the very worst of superhero films. It's called Fantastic and the number four. And the way it was marketed, it was like Fant, the number four filling in for the second A
Ooh.
and stick. So I just call it Fant
So it
Four.
just looked like the word fan for oh
We'll call it
no.
for Fant Four Stick. And that's supposed to
Fan
be
for
just absolutely
stick.
terrible, very bad version of Dr. Doom in that one. And they did a whole body horror spin where the
Oh
way they're
no.
transformed, it's supposed to be like Cronenberg-esque. And it's like, this is the
Oh
bright,
no.
cheery Marvel first family. And it's like, we don't need to edgify them. But like I said,
Yeah.
prior to this one, people say that cheapo, never meant to be released, one by Roger Corman, was maybe the closest to getting it right. And actually, it was nice. The four actors were on the red carpet at the premiere, so they brought them.
Oh, I
Apparently,
saw
they
that
have
because,
cameos.
yeah.
They have cameos in
Oh,
the
did
show.
they? Okay, that's exciting.
So it's
I
always
mean, I
nice when they
saw
do
that
that.
because obviously I'm seeing a lot of red carpet stuff because it's Pedro Fest in the pop culture right now.
Of
Pedro
course.
is everywhere, and my eyes get drawn like a moth to a flame when Pedro's on my screen.
Of
So I've
course.
seen pictures of him posing with the original ones, and I'm like, I wonder what original they're talking about. But I knew that you would tell me.
Sure.
I knew you would fill me in on the history.
Have you seen all these videos of Vanessa Kirby and him that are making the rounds?
Yeah. I think it's adorable. I think it's very
Okay.
sweet. They're good friends.
People are interpreting it in different ways, but
People are interpreting all kinds of things right now because he's very, very exposed. Someone almost say overexposed. I don't believe that's possible to Pedro
yeah, not for
Pascal.
you.
So the conversations are all over the place. I'm just laughing because he's having the time of his life and he's in a big summer movie, which I can't wait to see on Sunday. I
Yeah,
cannot
so
wait.
you're having the time of your life right along with them.
I am. I'm just like watching the ride and like cheering it on. And now I'm actually excited for its own merit for a Marvel movie.
So,
and I love the look of, I've seen the trailers. I love this whole mid-century Mad Men-esque.
1960s, definitely.
A real period with by referring to a 2000 show that was horrible. But I love that kind of aesthetic.
Yeah,
It
I think it
looks
was a good
really
choice
good.
for them. And on that note, that's good that you brought that up, because I will tell you, as much as I've been preparing you for this film with all of these Marvel Cinematic Universe TV shows and movies, this film does not take place on
Not
that
going to
world.
connect.
It is an alternate universe.
Oh, no, wait. Okay, somebody said this to me on social media yesterday. They said it's not even in the same world. And I said, what?
It's Earth 828, apparently.
No.
August 28th was Jack Kirby's birthday, and that's a little nod there. The mainline Marvel Cinematic Universe is 616, just like the mainline Marvel Comics was 616, which I believe we touched on before.
We've discussed this. This is a totally different number of universe.
The thing is, I think it had to be that because there had been so much established, 20-something movies, multiple TV shows, and Marvel didn't have the rights to Fantastic Four, X-Men. Then Disney bought Fox. They came with a deal. They had to develop them and everything. And you can't be like, well, no, they were there the whole time. Well, where were they when Thanos did Thanos' thing?
Shouldn't you have been saving
stuff.
Everybody? Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
To have said the Fantastic Four existed, but we just haven't seen them yet, or to start them, have their origin story now after all that came before already at this point far along, it doesn't make sense. And same with the mutants.
It would need explaining. But it does raise a question for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said there's going to be an Avengers Doomsday.
Yes.
And I, a follower of Pedro Pascal in media, have noted that he is in that cast of that movie.
Yes.
So somehow, I assume Reed Richards, at least, is going to end up knowing our Avengers in our universe. I say our, you know what I mean by our.
Mm-hmm.
The one we've been watching all these movies in.
Sure, the main one, yes.
So far. The main one. So that brings that question. How does that connect? How does that happen?
Well, we are in the multiverse saga. We're pretty deep in it. And it's building to the next two Avenger movies, which are now Doomsday and Secret Wars. Which, knowing what I know about storylines and about the state of the MCU, I don't think it's a spoiler to say I think they're being used as a way to sort of reset everything. It might not be a hard reboot of the MCU where they're going to ditch everything that came before, because we're all invested this much in it at that point, but maybe more of a soft reboot where they'll keep certain things, but they'll start over. Certain actors at this point in time today are no longer part of things.
Perfect.
They might bring those characters back with new actors, which, unless it was a situation like Terrence Howard or Edward Norton, recasting has not been something they've leaned on. But at a point, you have to do it if you want to keep making these things.
It's been so long, too. It's natural for people to possibly not be involved anymore. Well, I hope that by the time that Avengers movie comes out, which I assume will be some years hence.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's it might be next year.
Oh, okay. Well, that gives us a timeline then.
I think it's the next film.
I will need to have watched many more of these MCU movies.
Well, that's what we're here for, JV.
And that's what we're here. But it gives me a good timeline. It's like, okay, I'm going to go into this, not having seen those, but accepting it. And absolutely, I want to keep on going now and get myself caught up so that by the time Avengers Doomsday comes, I want to be more up to speed and right along with you. So I feel the momentum is what I'm saying.
Okay, well, great. I think that's a good point to wrap things up for now. But we will be right back with our initial impressions of Fantastic Four First Steps. Talk to you in a little bit. And we're back through the magic of editing. So now
we're a completely different person now from a second ago when you heard me talking.
You've gone through a transformative process.
I have.
You've watched a bunch of these with me and talked about them, but this is your first theatrical Marvel experience.
This is my first theatrical Marvel experience. I think that's right. That's crazy.
You never saw any of the old legacy?
Well, I think I saw the old Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire in the theater.
You did?
So maybe that one.
I wasn't sure if you'd even seen that much.
Yeah, I saw just that one. But okay. I mean,
first Marvel Studios.
No, it doesn't count.
First Marvel Studios film in the theater, and I saw it as well. I went with my daughter and my wife, and it looked like you went with a friend.
I went with my sister and my husband.
Oh, your sister.
Okay. Yeah, that was my sister. And I will say, of the three of us, I was the most excited to go see this movie.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that so funny? My life has changed now. I'm a different person. I mean, my sister was excited to see it on the Pedro level because she's a big, like, we really bond
You
over
share a
our
taste.
shared love of Pedro. It's like one of the only two things that she and I can talk about reliably are Pedro Pascal and like Disney World. And then everything else, those are our two topics.
Gotcha.
So, man, oh man. And then my husband, he's not super into this stuff. And I think he was interested in sort of the retro space stuff, like them as astronauts, them going outer space, that kind of thing. And that retro 60s space age deal, that's very appealing to him. But he didn't really care about it as a Marvel movie or
Oh,
anything.
okay.
So I was like, I was going, look at this. I'm so excited. Like I'm bouncing around, not just for Pedro. I was like, I want to see this movie. This movie looks awesome. And you know what? Can I say it? It was awesome.
There you go.
Like, let's just say it. I really liked it. I loved it.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I thought your husband's on the nerdier side with this sort of stuff.
He is on the nerdier side, but isn't it weird what things people focus on? Like, he's a big Star Trek, Star Wars. He knew a bunch about random comic book stuff because he just has that kind of brain where he picks up pop culture knowledge. So he had more information than I did about a lot of the Marvel stuff, but he's definitely not like a Marvel guy,
So
particularly.
has he seen any of these in the theater aside
I
from
don't think
just
in
went
the
off with a
theater.
friend or something?
No. I mean, it's possible that he and one of his buddies at some point over the years went to see one of these or the other, but he never really, like, I don't think it made much of an impact on him at the
Okay.
time. He never mentioned it. So I should ask after we're done. I'm going to ask him if he ever saw one in the theater before because I'm
Oh,
interested now. But
sure.
yeah.
So now you out-nerd him in this
I
respect,
have, I,
basically.
yeah, this is my thing now.
Well,
I have a
that's
thing.
great. That's great. And I really enjoyed it as well.
Good.
You know, I have a few of the minor nitpicks that I have from my
I knew you
usual
would. I'm really
self.
looking forward to hearing about them. And I have questions for you about the Fantastic Four in general.
Okay, so this is like our mini Cliff Notes recap because we still, down the road, maybe like 5 years from now,
Yeah. We'll
we'll do
cover.
a proper episode on this.
Yep.
But if you have
Yep.
some quick things to go over, I'd
Some
be
quick
happy to.
ones. Yeah. I don't want to get too in the weeds in it
It's like the
because
Cliff Notes version.
this is not an official us covering this movie. We're years away from that in the timeline of our podcast. But just in general, well, I guess the big one, Earth 828, right? If the movie starts, we're in Earth 828. That's not, that's another, it's one of the multiple, is it universes, timelines? What do we call them?
I guess
Multiple
either or. There
universes?
was a point in a show where it seemed like they tried to differentiate the two. I don't think I ever understood it. I think each universe and timeline, it's interchangeable. They're the same thing to me.
Sure.
But
Okay. So I guess
we're deep in the multiverse
we're in the
saga.
multiverse.
And
Yes.
the majority of the Marvel things have taken place on 616. We've dipped our toes in other ones here and there, and this is our first time on 828.
Okay, cool. So I guess my question is, did the movie take place now on Earth 828 or did it take place in the 60s?
It's in the 60s, so it's a period
Cool.
piece. So
All right. Felt like it
it
did.
seems like it's in our 60s that we knew of because it's supposed to be representative of the 60s, and it's not just like, well, 2025 feels like the 60s on Earth 828.
Sure. Okay, good. I was wondering. I didn't think, I thought it was kind of unlikely, but I wasn't quite sure because the technology obviously is well advanced of what we had in the 60s.
Right, because
Although,
it's kind of assumed that Reed Richards' genius kind of
yeah.
influenced the greater society, and that's why it's that retro futuristic vibe where the Fantastic Four, were the ones to go to space. So it wasn't like in our world where they just had the space race and
Right.
all that as usual.
Right.
They're the ones who
It was
broke
those
that.
guys. They
Yeah.
did space. Wasn't all those Hal Shepard and Neil Armstrong? That wasn't the thing. It was Reed
These four.
Richards, Sue Storm, Johnny, Ben. I feel like I know them all so well now.
Yeah, good job. Bravo.
Thank you. Okay, just real quick, was that cartoon real? The cartoon at the end, the cartoon that kept showing.
The
It's
cartoon,
kaboom time. What is it? Time to
it kind
start
of
part two.
it.
What is it? Sorry,
You don't remember his phrase?
he forgot. Time. Wait, it's kabooming? Oh my God, kapow? Oh, just
More
tell me. I
try? One
know.
more try?
It
Can
was
you
like
think?
two hours ago. Yeah. Now, punching time?
It's
No, tell me.
clobbering time.
Clobbering. Oh, okay. Clobbering time. And it was so funny in the theater when he said it, too. I've already forgotten it. Poor the thing. Did they ever call him the thing?
I don't know if they did, but to answer your question, it's a sort of a yes and no. There was a Hanna-Barbera cartoon
Okay.
of the Fantastic Four in our real world, and that's clearly an emulation of that cartoon. But the one in the movie, it's not like they just took footage of that cartoon. It's
okay.
This world's version of that
Got
old cartoon,
it.
basically.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Not too many, because again, I do want to cover this properly eventually, so I won't get into the nitpicks and the weeds about this. But was Silver Surfer always a lady?
No.
Okay.
And that has caused quite a bit
is
of
that causing problems?
Online,
Of course
as
it is.
One could imagine, in
oh,
the
no.
nerdosphere, the manosphere, whatever you want to say, as
the nerd
gender
manosphere.
Swaps and race swaps will do.
People don't like it. I like her.
Normally in the history of Marvel, the Silver Surfer has primarily been a male.
Okay.
And he is Norrin Rad. And
okay.
His origin is basically the origin you see here. But
okay,
they swapped it. Shalabal is his lover
okay.
in the comics. And he's the one who sacrifices himself to save his planet and his love to become the Herald of Galactus. So they just took the other character in the equation and did it. And I believe there's maybe in the history of Marvel one issue in which she also was the Silver Surfer. And I think it was simultaneously with him. So it was two Silver Surfers. It wasn't just an alternate world where they reversed it, kind of like in this film. So I guess the people at Marvel and the nerds who defend it can go, no, look, it's accurate to this one time in this one comic. So they have
right.
that go on. But of course, we're used to Norrin Rad. We're used to the classic male surfer.
Also, this is a big change for most.
It is and it isn't, because it still serves the same purpose and it still has basically the same origin. It's just it focuses on the other partner in the romantic relationship.
Right.
And so, again, with me, it's more about staying true to the comics than being
sure.
one of these overtly sexist or racist people. I would have preferred we got Norrin Rad.
Okay.
They did include him in the mid-2000s version, where
okay.
the sequel was The Rise of the Silver Surfer. And we got a pretty accurate-looking Norrin Rad Silver Surfer in that. The quality of the movie as a whole, that's something else. So you'd kind of hope, once Marvel Studios took a crack at it and really nailed it, we'd get a new and improved movie with a new Norrin Rad Surfer. We got Shalabal instead. She did good within that.
Yep.
But it's going to be a thing.
It's not what it was in everybody's mind. It's different. So it's an adjustment. I think there's a real difference between having a problem with it as a devoted fan of the comics and having a problem with it as a man who wanted to see, doesn't want a woman to be in a man's role. So I don't think there's any problem with wanting it to be the way you were used to the character being in the comic.
It's
as
very
long as people
hard.
Aren't toxic about it.
Yeah, it's
because,
very
I
hard
mean,
for me, because it's like I'm siding with the bad guys on these things.
I know.
A lot.
Okay.
I always think of it this way. I want a character's skin color to be matching the character's skin color in the comics as much as I want another character's hair color to match. So if Steve Rogers was a brunette and they didn't make him blonde for it, that's equally egregious to me as if they made a white character black or a male character female. So I think if you explain
that's
it that
fine.
Way, you kind of see that it's not some hateful thing, because it's not like I hate brunette people.
Right.
But I want them to look as close as they can to their comic versions.
You want a really faithful.
How many chances
adaptation.
Are we going to get to see them brought to life in this way?
Sure. I think that's fair, because I come from it as a newbie who thought she was a great character. I love Julia Garner as an actress, so I thought she did a great job. But I was just curious, because I've heard of the Silver Surfer. I didn't really have Surfer, excuse me, not the Silver, like waitress, waiter, but the
Silver
Surfer.
Server.
The
that's
Silver
a whole
Surfer,
new thing.
You know, the Silver
you should pitch
Surfer,
that.
The parody. No, I'd heard of the Silver Surfer, but I didn't really have an image of the character in my mind, but for some reason, I had a feeling wasn't always a woman character, and I was right. Interesting. Well, what did you think? What did you think overall of how they did adapting this?
Yeah, overall it was really great. They hit the characters on the head. They really adapted them well. I will say, I don't know if you've been made aware of this, and you might find this shocking, but I was very much against Pedro Pascal's casting as Reed Richards.
This is such an interesting tidbit to come out at this point in our podcast, knowing the premise for our podcast.
Exactly.
That's hilarious.
I've come
so
on board
why
because...
why were you anti-Pedro?
Without it, we wouldn't have this thing, so I'm grateful.
That's right.
In that
now
sense.
You're happy about it.
But
didn't you think he was right for the role at first?
It's just the same as with the things I just went over. He
does
not look like Reed Richards to me.
I
look at him and I see Pedro Pascal. He won't shave the thing because he's embarrassed of how he looked in Wonder Woman 1984.
He was bad about it.
So
bad,
he
way.
just And because right now he's ever present, you see Pedro Pascal on everything.
And
he's
it's got
the mustache everywhere. He does not look like Reed to me. Even in the opening scene in the bathroom, he's wearing a white undershirt. And you see he's muscly. I don't know if he bulked up.
Is Reed not so... He did.
Reed Richards, and he's a nerdy scientist. Reed Richards is not some suave, macho ladies' man. And I feel he doesn't bring the vibe of a Reed Richards or the look.
So it should have been more like Ed Norton in The Incredible Hulk, the sort of pencil neck geek stereotype looking dude, huh?
Something along those lines. There were people who people tossed out as fan casts and things like that. And I don't think in a million years most people would have chosen Pedro, but he's the big hot thing, so they grabbed onto him.
I pulled up a picture at some point of the comic, or I saw them somewhere, or maybe I'm thinking of the cartoon. But I will say Reed Richards had a pretty big jaw. So Pedro's got that going for the character, right? That big manly jaw, despite his, you know.
I guess, but I feel it's just still not the right shape of face, and it just doesn't match my image of him overall. Obviously,
such a good shape of face.
A counter argument could be, well, he's got this history of over 60 years. He's looked different with different artists over that course. So what is the definitive one? There's a basic vibe for the classic iconic look of Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic. In more recent years, they've given him a beard, and there's been interpretations with a beard. There's been interpretations where he's been drawn like a real celebrity, and we'll get into that down the road.
Oh, like a real person that lives in our world?
Yes. Yes,
interesting.
I don't want to say too much now because it's a factor down the road.
Okay.
But overall, he's been this clean-shaven. Think if this was made in the 60s, the perfect person to play him would probably have been, appropriately enough, the guy who was the professor on Gilligan's Island.
He
would have been a perfect match physically, and he plays a guy who's a super genius on the show. So he would have been a great Reed Richards in his time.
Is there another contemporary actor that you think, instead of Pedro, would have had the look that you were looking for Reed Richards?
One I had thought of, and it's off the beaten path, and obviously when you compare the two as actors and gravitas, it doesn't make sense, but the guy who plays Dennis on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Glenn Howard.
I've never seen that show. I'm not gonna look
but I felt up. Like he had the look physically, but again, he's not necessarily on the same level of a Pedro Pascal acting wise, but I thought it's something he could maybe challenge himself and range, because the character of Dennis is a real piece of garbage, and to be this leader of a super team would be very
this guy different. Yeah, I understand the look you're thinking of. Okay, now that I can see what you're saying. Did it take you out of the movie too much, or were you able to get
I settled
into
in
it?
With it I settled okay. in Because like I've said before with these things, I have no control over it. It's what I got. I've got to just go with it. So Sam Jackson, Nick Fury. Okay. You know, and
I love Sam Jackson, Nick Fury. I don't even want anybody else in the world to ever have played Nick Fury than Sam Jackson.
Right. But you didn't grow up reading comics where he looks like this other guy.
I'm sure I would feel differently had I grown up reading these comics.
Which I was going to mention is a benefit to you in these situations because you're not biased. So you can just enjoy them all. Purely without greater context of caring about that stuff that I do. So that's another way the two of us contrast. So
how'd you feel about the others? Vanessa Kirby, decent for
She was a great Sue Storm. She captured it. The writing, everything about her was on point.
Yep.
I was a little shocked when she's telling Johnny to kill the server that they actually went that far. I could see where it comes from, because a mother will do anything for their child.
Yeah, it made perfect sense to me in the moment.
But to see a Marvel hero on screen saying, kill that other character.
Kill that guy.
I'm telling you to kill this character was a little bit of a shock, but I got it. But she was great. Joseph Quinn, I'd only seen him in Stranger Things before.
Stranger Things.
He fit Johnny Storm. I mean, that's what I think most people knew him for. But he was great as Johnny Storm.
Yeah, I thought it was wonderful.
They did make it where they're all kind of scientists and astronauts, which is a little different.
I think I didn't know anything about these characters, like I say, but I was a little surprised at what a genius Johnny Storm was. Like, he's learning a language. He's like, put stuff together.
That is a departure from the typical presentation. Like, if you see the mid-2000s films, Chris Evans, our Captain America, actually played him in those ones. And he's like, not to be silly about it, but he's a hothead. As well as in the literal sense.
Sure.
And he's making jokes at Ben's expense, and he's with the ladies and all that stuff. And that is an aspect of Johnny Storm's history and character. They really don't go much into it aside from Ben teasing him about, you're going after the server because she's a hot lady. So they touched on it there, but he was real suave, young, hip guy in the course of his history, not some really super smart guy who's also doing science stuff and decoding
language. Yeah, like an incredible linguist who can somehow put together an entire language based on very scant information in a very short amount of time. I feel like if the what they were going, I mean, none of this is realistic, though. I was able to suspend my disbelief
sure, of
for
course.
That sort of thing. It would have taken years for them to do what he did in a couple months. Maybe didn't even get any bigger, and he's cracked the language.
Yeah, it's not like it exactly bothered me, but it was a little different from what I was used to. But again, I rolled with it. Thing was spot on. I remember when I heard the trailer, I guess I thought he should have a more rough voice, what I associate with the Thing, and I think of from the 1990s cartoon and the general idea of what the Thing is supposed to be. But he's got that New York voice.
Yeah.
Good. I
liked him.
I didn't think when I first heard Eben Moss Bacharach cast, he's kind of more a little tall and lanky, where Thing is Ben Grimm before he's Thing is sort of like a bulky guy, like a football player kind of build.
Oh, he was already big and muscular, and then he just
gets taken
to the extreme.
He's not got that physical presence, but we don't spend much time with him as
we Ben, hardly got to see him at all. And that brings us, I think, to my sort of major beef with the movie. And it wasn't major. I still love the movie. But my main, if I had a beef, it would be as a newcomer. I got all of their history through this newsreel thing. They did a lot of exposition the first like half hour of the movie. It's all basically all footage I've seen before in trailers. And you know what I mean? I wish we hadn't come into the story with them already transformed into what they were. I wish we'd been able to see their origins.
So you wanted an origin story.
I wanted the origin story. I mean, I knew I wasn't going to get it, but that's what I would have preferred. I would have preferred a movie about that. Like, what's a cosmic wave? We're just accepting a lot of information and going, okay, they were this and now they're that. I would have liked to get to know them a little bit before.
I can understand that from your point of view, because this is your entry point.
Yeah.
With a lot of these ones now, as with the most recent Superman, you haven't seen that yet, right?
Not yet, but I will. I'm going to.
They are diving right into the action because a lot of it is assumed that audiences know. James Gunn himself has said he doesn't need to see the baby rocketed from Krypton ever again.
Sure.
He doesn't need to see the Waynes murdered in the alley and Martha's pearl necklace falling to the ground. And he doesn't need to see Uncle Ben being murdered again. These are the three most iconic origin stories
of
all time.
Like a century of telling the depictions of these things. We've had our chance to see those. And I understand that too. I understand that the Fantastic Four has been around for a while and they did a good job with the newsreel and the exposition. It didn't leave me going, what the heck's going on here? Why are they so stretchy? Like, it was fine. It just made me go, oh, this would be cooler if I got to know them before this happened. But I accepted it. It wasn't necessary for this story that they were telling. That's for sure.
Sure. Yeah. I guess they wanted to move things forward to have them more established and get them ready for what comes next once they join the bigger picture. And if they had to spend too much time redoing the origin story, that would have taken away from advancing the plot and moving along this team's role in the greater multiverse and their whole story that needed to be told. So, yeah, it's not on the level of Batman, Spider-Man, Superman in how many times we've seen it. But again, as a brand newcomer, it makes sense that maybe you would have liked to have experienced that.
Yeah.
Maybe at a point, if we have a reason to, and now that I think about it, we might, we can dip our toes into those mid-2000s Fantastic Fours. Because I think I've told you that there are some entries, especially now in the multiverse saga, where we can take a pause on the MCU timeline and go back to the legacy media because it will play a part without spoiling too much because of the idea of the multiverse and what that entails. So I think, again, some of these I don't like as much as the others, and I could probably do
it for seeing again,
but for the sake of this podcast and having fun discussing with you, I can go back and watch these things for a second time in my life.
Okay, I appreciate the sacrifice. I mean, that's kind of fun. It would be interesting to see these characters in another format too. I like them. I like their relationship in this. Are they always depicted as this tight-knit family grouping like this? That's great.
Family is the key word when it comes to the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
3/4 of them are literal family.
Right.
It's a guy, his wife, and his brother-in-law, and then his old best friend who's practically family.
Sure.
And so that is a key thing of their history. They're a family of explorers and adventurers, and a lot of stuff has been outer space-based cosmic exploration. So that's the key basic synopsis of who they are and their role in the Marvel Universe. So we've seen that here. That was very
and it's very appealing. It's an appealing concept, and it played out really in a fun way. It was a great entertainment, in my opinion.
Clearly a large part of this film, and how they're going to end up connecting within the multiverse to the established heroes should be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we still need to wait and see. There's not many projects between now and then, so it's going to be interesting how they get going with Doomsday from here, because Thanos had so much buildup and the Infinity Stones had so much buildup. And this, it feels like we're going to rush into this new thing, this new big team up movie with only so much. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping it's well executed. I'm hoping I'm enjoying it. But there are things that are keeping me from being as excited as I'd like to be or as I was for the end of the Infinity Saga, for example.
Sure.
Now,
barely in our watching.
Well, we've had a fair chunk of it. We're in the early times of phase two. We've got through the full first phase, so we're working our way through it. Any more early thoughts or questions about this movie that you want to tackle on this edition before the big picture when we get to it?
Well, I mean, not really. I guess I'm in the same place as you, where I'm wondering how we're going to get from here based on just what I've read in the press, which is not that much,
mm-hmm.
but about this thing where they're really going to take a flick. He's going to lead the Avengers, Mr. Fantastic, in the next movie. Like, how do we get from here to there?
I've seen that, and then I've seen that that was not 100% true.
That doesn't really make sense in my mind, but I don't know everything.
They're going to be newcomers, and they're going to be brought into the fray, and I could see him having a strong role because he's this super genius, and he leads this team/family, and they're well-established as superheroes, and they've done a great job. There's, like, no crime in the city and everything like that. But Fantastic Four and Avengers are two separate things. That's why I also don't like, I'm sure it's a Disney thing with branding, I don't like that they still feel that every major crossover has to be Avengers colon something. Like Secret Wars, if it was just Marvel's Secret Wars, or Doomsday, Marvel's Doomsday.
It is such a branding thing. It's like, oh, we got a big hit with this franchise, let's make sure everything touches this franchise. That is a very Disney thing that I could talk for hours, and I won't, about that topic in other realms of the company. So I understand that sort of, really? Everything has
to be? I can see why, because for the general public, if it didn't have that on there, but in the trailers and the advertising, they would know, okay, this is the Marvel thing with the big crossover.
Right.
I don't think people would be like, what is this? If they see all the people in the trailers and all the bright, colorful characters
they know
and love from Marvel Studios films, they're going to realize this is the big team up. Doesn't have to be called Avengers, but I guess they don't trust audiences enough.
So it goes.
But yeah, when you're factoring in, we're going to have the Fantastic Four. At some point, we're going to have the X-Men. All of those teams aren't just sub-branches of the Avengers. They are their own things that have held their own presences across media for decades and decades. So to be lumped into the Avengers feels a little unfair to them.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see how they get there. I have no idea how we get from 1960s era Earth 628 to...
828.
I assume... 828. Oh my God. 828. Of course. I liked at the end, the Jack Kirby, the way they pulled his.
That was very nice, that quote.
828. Yeah. A lot of fun.
Little tribute.
But I guess, I mean, there's plenty I could say, but I think you're right that we should let this now, let's go back to our timeline, keep going with our movies. And when we get to this naturally, we'll rewatch it.
We'll have a lot more to say.
We'll get into the weeds about some of the observations and things.
It'll be different because it's something you've already seen.
Yep.
But
I'll see it again. I'll see any Pedro Pascal movie again.
Exactly. But we still haven't touched on the ginormous elephant in the room.
Are we talking about the big bad? I mean, are you?
Yeah, we might as well mention him a little bit.
We haven't mentioned Galactus at all, have we? The space god.
Any quick
thoughts? So he was brand new for me. I could see why people were saying you should really see it in IMAX. I didn't, but he would have been really cool in.
I've seen some pictures people took in theaters where it shows how much more is on the screen. But then I also saw something where they said it almost has more impact to be cut off because he fills more of the screen in the
Like you can't even contain him in a screen. Yeah, I mean, they definitely got that across. The scale of him was really something to behold. Yeah, I don't know. It was a good villain. Did a good job. He was scary.
Yeah.
I don't know. How'd you feel about him?
For me, I think that he was the standout. He was ripped from the pages. He had that presence. He had the look as if it was just out of the comic. The guy who performed him did a great job. And it was cool learning that some of it was him in a costume in many sets. They actually did that. So it's not only just CGI mocap. They somehow incorporated him being in the costume.
That's great.
Certain parts of it, at least. I don't know how much percentage of which is which, but the voice, the presence, the height, the scale.
Yeah.
It just, that was a home run to me of this movie. That really was a real highlight for me. I'll say that.
Yeah. And the introduction to him coming, bursting out of that planet that he was devouring was, I mean, it was terrifying, especially when I'm thinking of these four astronauts in a 60s. I mean, I know it's more advanced than our 60s era spacecraft, but it still felt a little 60s, you know?
Sure. And you're
like, how are they going to get out of it? Like, ah. So, yeah, no, they definitely got across what they needed to get across. And he was definitely awe-inspiring villain. Yeah, it was a good time seeing him stomping around New York City. Why do we always have to take the brunt of when these super gods come and want to destroy the Earth?
Yeah, well, that's Marvel for you. That was the hub of the comics forever.
Yep.
That's where Marvel was based out of, and that's where they based their universe out of. They wanted it to be the world outside your window, so it wasn't a fictional city like Metropolis or Gotham. It was New York, and because of the heroes being congregated there, the Earth is in danger more in New York than most other places.
I love seeing this version of New York, this sort of alternate universe 60s version of New York. I love that aesthetic of it, and seeing just that, what's it called, the rocket tower or whatever that they built for the spaceship. What was it called?
You don't remember the name?
What was it called? Just tell me.
Davy.
These aren't the details that I'm latching onto
Davy.
When I'm watching this movie. Please tell me. You're so mean.
I excitedly announce it at the start of every episode.
Oh, is that Excelsior? Now it all makes sense. That really ties the podcast together for me.
The Excelsior Launch Bay or something like that.
That makes so much sense. Well, I love seeing it just like stuck out there in the water right off of New York. I was just like, hey, it's like our city, but with this like Excelsior Launch Bay.
Well, do you know why I say that?
No, I never did.
It was a catchphrase of Stan Lee's. He would say Excelsior. So it's a nod to him to have named the thing. I'm not referencing launch place in the Marvel Universe. They named that after his catchphrase, which is what I'm aping when I introduce an episode.
I had no idea, but to be fair, how would I know? I didn't know nothing about Marvel until we started talking.
And also in his editor columns, he calls the fans true believers. So that's what I say.
Oh, true believers. I love it when it all comes together in my brain and makes sense.
I'm just straight stealing his lines.
Oh, I love it. Well, it's good for our podcast because it's the reason that we started this thing in the first place. So yeah. I love it.
So that's great.
Good job. Decision there, Zach.
Yeah. Real quick, though, before we wrap. And again, we'll talk more about all these things when we do the full show. Any thoughts on that mid-credits scene?
Oh, yeah. Was I supposed to know what book she wanted to read him? Was that all about us saying that the kid loves Darwin? Or...
That was
cute.
It was a little joke that she's reading Very Hungry Caterpillar and then there's the evolution of the species or whatever by Darwin. But I mean the rest of that scene.
What?
How does the scene end?
I don't know. They go read the other book. How does the scene end? What did I miss?
Did you blink? Did you look the other direction? Did you eat some popcorn? What did you?
I might have been signing. I was at the Alamo, so I might have been signing the check. What happened? What did I miss?
We'll leave it hanging until we get to... No.
Oh, yeah. There was a guy in a hood and there was a mask on the floor. Thank you. Okay. I did watch it. I saw it. Who was that?
So she turns her head practically and then she looks over at Franklin and he's reaching out to the face of this figure in a green hood and cloak holding a metal mask.
That was very disquieting. Am I meant to know who that is? Or
want to take a guess considering all things?
No, I really don't know who it was.
Well, he came up in the first half of the show, which we recorded previously.
Is it Dr. Doom?
It's Dr. Doom. So,
I wasn't kidding when I said, Zach, who's Dr. Doom? I guess it's that guy.
So,
So is he like the usual big bad for the Fantastic Four?
Yes, so he's their greatest villain and a big villain for
you
all
just said
Marvel.
That, yes.
And Doomsday is named for him. So he's the big threat coming.
The Doom and Doomsday, got it.
So that's that tease of what's to come. And you see Franklin is just sort of gently kind of like looking at his face. And of course, Sue sees this strange figure in their home, which I'm sure has incredible security.
Yeah.
and her four-year-old kid is just sort of playing with this mysterious person. So there's going to be a reaction to that, and we'll have to wait till next year to find out what it is. But
yeah,
that's what that
teased. Cliffhanger.
And so
you like how I forgot it and just thought about the books.
Gotcha.
2 hours later, I'm just like, what were they reading?
Well, on that note,
oh yeah, there's a guy.
I think we'll leave it at that. That's a perfect ending point. I'm glad you enjoyed it as much as you did. I enjoyed it plenty. Had a fun time with my wife and daughter, and I'm looking forward to what comes next, but also just getting back to the rest of our regular show and watching all that stuff over again. So we'll hop on that. We'll get back to it. We'll do Guardians and take it from there. So until then, thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye. Zach and Tavy's Marvelous Adventure is produced and co-hosted by Zach Walliner and Tavy Phillips. Featuring Penny Walliner. Edited by Zach Walliner. Theme music by Luis Humanoid. Cover art by Chris Giarusa. If you enjoy our show, please be sure to leave a nice review and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. And follow us on all the major social media sites and apps at Zach Tavy Marvel. That's ZACHTAVIEMARVEL. Thanks again for tuning in. Nuff said.